This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady is on assignment. I guess we could say that.
Yes, we can. And just a quick spoiler alert, if you're paying attention to NC2A basketball and do not know the score of the SDSU.
Let's not talk about it, please.
Okay. That's where Mark is.
Yeah. Well, no, he's in Colorado.
Well, yeah. But that's what he's doing, and
yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy
good
spring.
Morning, guys.
Happy
yeah.
first day of spring. Did you notice the moon this morning?
No, I did not.
I couldn't see it.
Well, either could I. It was drizzly at my house.
It wasn't drizzly, but it was overcast. But by the time I got to about the main gate at Miramar, it was pretty drizzly.
Yeah. Oh, it was drizzling. I was having heavy drizzle at my house. Well, it was dusting.
I don't think it's enough to really water anything.
No, absolutely not.
But it will do is whatever moisture is in the soil, it's going to leave it there for a little while longer.
And it'll allow the snails to spend more time on your plants today.
Again this morning, I think it was warmer when I got up this morning than when I went to bed last night.
Yeah, it's 58 in Poway this morning.
So it was very, very balmy.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Well, it's spring. We're 3 hours into spring.
Three hours. 2:37, 3:37, 4:05, 6:07, 6. I think that's 4.
Well, we haven't reached
the hour yet. Oh, no, it's 3 and a half.
Right.
Okay, whatever. We're well into spring.
Well into it. Been out in your garden already?
Happy spring, everybody. Enjoy your overcast drizzle and the moon that was not there.
And from the number of people that have been in the stores, you would have thought that spring had hit
a few weeks ago.
It's been very busy.
Which is good.
Yes.
I complain about it on a regular basis, but it's wonderful to see all the new faces out shopping and participating. And most of the people that are shopping and participating are focusing on our passion.
Fruits and vegetables. Edibles. Yep.
And you know what? As far as vegetables are concerned for this season, the growers were on it. I mean, the selection of stuff that we have in the stores right now I can't remember a time when we've had this much stuff with this much variety this early in the season. It's absolutely amazing. We have incredible selection of tomatoes, incredible selection of peppers, of everything.
We have a lot of the peppers that we typically don't get till much later in the season when it warms up a bit.
Yeah, the super hot peppers. We have the stupid hot peppers. we have an amazing selection of those right now, and David, you and I were talking about it before we came on the air. The strawberry selection that we have right now.
Best I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's really, really amazing. And we have strawberries in 4-inch and 6-packs. We have 1-gallon strawberries from Monrovia, which I typically would never have bought a 1-gallon strawberry before.
But the ones from Monrovia are just
absolutely gorgeous. And we even have strawberry pots already planted and ready to go for you to take home and stick on your patio.
Do you remember I told you guys a few weeks ago I bought some strawberries and took them home?
No.
It was 2 or 3 weeks ago. Anyway, I did this week plant them.
Oh, did you?
Yes. I put some in a window box and some in a hanging basket.
Were they a June bearing or ever bearing?
I think they are ever bearings. I have Albion and the other variety that I wasn't going to get, but the plants were so much bigger and prettier than everything else. I'm not sure if it was Camarosa. I know I have Albion because that has been researched and beaten, and that has to be one of them. And then the other one is the other one, and I don't know what it is.
Well, there's a lot of variety, so
there is.
It could be anything.
My parents used to go up to the pick your own strawberry fields up in Carlsbad. I don't know if those are those still
I think
there?
It's still there.
Is it
just
still
north
there?
Of the auto mall and
yeah,
on the north end of Leg that
yeah.
Yes.
And they grew some of the best strawberries I think I've ever tasted, but I can't remember what variety they were.
Was it Seascape?
I can't remember if it was Seascape or Chandler. I don't remember.
Supposed to be have a super flavor.
That maybe they were Chandler's. I don't know. But that was always a big thing.
Who's going to walk out into their garden, pick a beautiful berry that has not been eaten by pill bugs or sow bugs, and then taste it and say, oh, that's not very good.
It's not as good as the Chandler. That's not as good. Yeah. I agree. So when people ask what's the best tasting, I say pretty much anything you grow in your garden.
The one that's ripe?
Right.
Yeah, they were starting. There's blooms on all of them. I got a couple of six packs, and they've just been sitting there. I've been watering them every day, but finally, I took the time to plant them and put them in the sun. And I watered this morning because I knew that drizzle wasn't going to be enough.
You must listen to the radio show and learn these things.
I do, and I actually pay attention sometimes, except for the times when I'm not paying attention. Totally separate note,
yes.
Walking up my driveway this morning, almost every one of my citrus trees now is in a different stage of bloom. They're all different by a few weeks, but almost everything has beautiful new growth and blooms on them now, regardless of the type of tree.
And it's fragrant.
The bees have been, it's wonderful. And my macadamia is dripping with the catkins. Is that what they're called? The flower spikes?
I guess it could be called that.
They haven't opened yet, so I'm probably a few weeks away from that, but they're there. And I had one branch come out off of the tree over the driveway fairly high, and I left it because I was having a vision of the flowers dripping, dropping right. down mm-hmm. over across my driveway, and it's high enough that I can drive under it. And sure enough, there are flower spikes on that. I'm very excited about
it. It's a beautiful tree when it's in bloom, and it's fragrant.
I think macadamias are very underutilized in San Diego.
I'm so Agreed. Proud of you. I thought you were going to say overrated.
I thought he was going to say that,
no.
And they taste terrible.
They taste
I don't
like
know.
Dirt.
Why would you eat
it's
that?
It's one of my favorite nuts. I mean,
they're easy to grow. I mean, other than rats,
they're super easy to grow.
There are no pests.
It's a nice looking tree. It's not a huge water hog. And once they get going, they produce like crazy.
They do.
They do. I
honestly don't know why there's not a bigger. Well, it's probably because property's so expensive. Why there's not a bigger macadamia
industry
in San Diego? I don't know how Hawaii got that distinction. Unless maybe it's just because of all the natural rainfall that it. Makes it super easy to grow them over there, but it's a fantastic tree. Not the fastest growing thing in the world, but they grow relatively well. And like I said, they produce like crazy. I had one in my front yard when I lived in Claremont. It was a little smaller than the Majestic Beauty Raphaelipus that we have in the parking lot, but that thing would produce a brown paper grocery bag of nuts every year. I mean, it was amazing how much that thing would produce.
Does this be a grocery bag that would be like 10 boxes that you might move things in? That much weight?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like.
They are very productive, and they're excellent. It is a wonderful nut. Surprised that we all agree here. Yeah. And if Mark were here, he would be agreeing with us as well, because I know he likes his macadamias.
Yeah, he had a big one in his – he had a big tree in his backyard in Claremont.
See.
Yeah.
Now, is yours maintained as a tree or more as a shrub or a little of both?
No, it's a tree. It's okay. A big tree. And it – back when I got it, it was when – actually, Barbara bought that tree for us when we moved into the new house. And it was one of the first trees I planted. And it was when we were getting those enormous 15 gallons from Durling's. They don't do them anymore. And it is now a 15 to 20 foot tall tree. It is probably 10 or 15 feet across. It goes from my driveway to over the neighbor's fence. It's a big tree, and I do a lot of cutting on it. It also was how I met my parents' neighbor. I was up trimming, and the leaf came back and slapped me in the eye. And so I went to the doctor because I was having problems seeing. and it was my parents' neighbor was the doctor who said, it's already beginning to heal and you're fine and go away. But then I went and I didn't know he was my parents' neighbor. And we started talking about macadamias. And I went and troubleshot his macadamia, which I don't think was getting enough water.
Oh.
They do well. They do weller.
They'll survive with not a lot of water. However, to be productive, they need a good amount of water to be productive.
Not less than other fruit trees, right. Less than citrus, less than most trees. But with a little bit more water, they do much better. And so this tree has just thrived because it's between two citrus trees.
And we had just gotten some macadamias. I don't know if we have any left.
We do. I saw them yesterday. We have some
Kates, I think.
Kate, right? And Beaumont seedlings. But we had more Kates than Beaumonts, but we did seedlings. And the same guy we got those from is going to have grafted versions, which will fruit earlier. But the grafted versions are 2 or 3 months away. But we have seedlings of both in the store right now.
Kate's the smaller one. It's about the size of a nickel, isn't it? Because I thought Beaumonts were about the size of a quarter.
I think so, and it also has something to do, well, mine aren't. I guess in the nuts are themselves are not that big. In the shells, when they still have that green husk on them, they're that probably close to a quarter. But they have the less sharp leaves, the less spiky leaves, I think.
Those leaves are spiky.
And I have a tendency to go barefoot, which... that's kind of problematic, even for my feet.
And probably a little known fact that they're actually in the Protea family.
We had that discussion once when I said I didn't like any Proteas, and David said, you like one of them. I said, okay, fair enough. I do like the macadamia nut.
I don't remember you saying you didn't like Proteas.
They don't do anything for me.
Oh.
Proteas are to George.
What beets are to Ken.
Yes.
There you go.
I didn't do well with those on the standardized test. Did you guys do well with those?
With what?
Yeah, is like or as to.
Oh. Is to, yeah. Huh? Okay, sorry.
we've got some semi-good news. The seed potatoes finally arrived in Poway.
Where?
In Poway. They're,
did San Diego get theirs?
Not yet.
When are they expecting theirs?
I believe Monday.
They're slated to come in Monday or Tuesday to San Diego. They were on a slower truck.
San Diego's much further away.
It is. And they were coming from the north, so you have to almost drive through Poway to get to San Diego.
And
once they arrive,
go ahead.
They have to be inspected. So they're be available today in Poway and Monday or Tuesday in San Diego.
We were fortunate. We were very fortunate enough. The Ag Department fit us in yesterday. We didn't think it was going to happen, but they came out and inspected and cleared everything, so they are ready. They will be ready to go today. So thank you very much to
the Bureau of Weights and Measures Department of Agriculture.
That's it. Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, that was easy for you to say
stuff.
Ken.
Yeah. So they came in and cleared everything for us, so the seed potatoes will be available in Poway today. But San Diego, it will be Monday.
And these are the organic ones that people have been waiting for, and it had something to do with the organic certification that held them up. That's part
of
the reason.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
That's interesting.
That's the story. Anyway. That was the initial story.
That's the story, and you're sticking
to it.
Okay. If you want to give us a call today, we'd love to talk to you. 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. And we'll be back with more right after this break.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. Learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark has got the weekend off. I had mentioned the peppers, or the super hot peppers earlier. The San Diego store, this is just in San Diego, is having a pre-sale of selected varieties of hot peppers online. So you can go to the Walter Anderson Nursery, go to the Walter Anderson Nursery website, which is walteranderson.com. Make sure you spell it S-E-N. And you can go to the San Diego store's online store and pre-buy selected varieties of hot peppers and then go in and pick them up in the store when they are available. We will have a lot of those varieties in the Poway store as well, but the online purchases are for San Diego only.
And didn't I see that they already have, well, we both already have quite a few of the hot peppers, so they're already filling those orders.
I believe so.
Where available.
Yeah.
I like the logo.
Oh, the Burning Wan?
Yeah, the Burning Wan. That's very clever.
Yeah.
Is that your niece?
I think so.
Well done.
I think so. Yeah. She did a nice job with that.
Are we going to get t-shirts with those logos on them?
They're supposed to be coming up.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty excited about that.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number we would like to talk to you. And we are going to go to Claremont and talk to Cheryl Lee. Good morning, Cheryl Lee. How are you?
Hey, very, very well, and I appreciate your call, gentlemen, very, very much. Calling about fruit trees.
We should be able to help you out with that.
Okay. I live in the Bayho area of Claremont. I moved in this house at least 45 years ago, maybe longer. And when I moved here, there were two orange trees here, and they have produced beautifully, been beautiful trees all these years. And then probably about 30 years ago, 30 or 35 years ago, I planted two grapefruit trees. Absolutely beautiful. These trees have been prolific. They've been wonderful trees, healthy. However, the last 2 years or so, they've been dying. And I wonder, is there a lifespan to fruit trees?
Typically on citrus, no. Not
how,
that I'm
how
aware.
Old is the original Washington navel up in Riverside?
Oh, it's well over 100 years old, I believe.
Well, because this happened, and when it happened was when they put in a fence between me and my neighbor.
Well, the most common cause for problems is a lack of water. And when people start conserving water, that created problems. If the fence dug through roots, that could have damage the tree and set it back.
What I think it did, because I noticed it. I have a watering system for my trees, and so they got sufficient water, and they've been so prolific. All these years, they've been so prolific. I have two grapefruits and two oranges, and I had one lemon tree.
So
the lemon tree died, and then the other trees I noticed began losing leaves. All year long, I have to get out there and keep raking leaves because all the leaves are off the trees. They're still producing some fruit, but they're not healthy trees anymore. And it happened at the time the fence was put in.
So try mulching them, try watering more, and then I would also add a dose of horticultural oil, because sometimes if they get scale, the scale is taking more energy out of the tree than you can replace, even with proper watering. And that's how we met was it Larry from Oceanside?
I believe so, yeah.
And we saved his lemon tree with horticultural oil. So
horticultural oil, yes, you have that in your store?
We do. The Monterey horticultural oil is the brand that I would use for this issue. And as long as your tree isn't in or close to full bloom, then go ahead and do it now. If you are in full bloom or close to it, then wait until it's done and then spray it with the oil.
Well, now, full, I don't know, what do you call full bloom? Mine, I have been producing the fruit, but I did notice the grapefruit trees. I noticed they have little teensy tiny blossoms on them,
Okay,
have
the buds opened up yet?
No, they haven't opened up yet. Okay, I just noticed them when I was out there. I go out there every day. They're right beside my house. I go out there every day, and I say a prayer for them. And I noticed that they have the little teensy tiny, like pearls on them.
Okay, well, then wait until they get done blooming then at this point. Sounds
like
they're getting
pretty
close.
Is there a way to save them? Is there? I've never had them shed. They shed leaves all year long. I have to go out there every couple of weeks and rake the leaves. There's so many leaves have fallen off the trees.
I would be curious if when they put this fence up, was that tree possibly getting additional water from your neighbor's yard and they severed some of the roots?
No water at all. No water at all from my neighbors.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so mulch, water more, feed, and spray with horticultural oil. I would use either Grow Power or one of the organics, which in addition to feeding the tree, will also feed the soil and help with the, what kind of activity in the soil, George?
The microbial activity, increase the soil health.
So when was the last time you fertilized?
I usually fertilize them about twice a year.
I would up that a little bit. And you increase the mulch under there, it'll increase the microbial activity. You add the organic fertilizer or the Grow Power fertilizers, which will help be a catalyst for that activity and help what's in the soil become available to your plants, and then water them. How often did you water them last summer?
Oh, I used to water them weekly.
Okay. And do that again this year, but maybe longer, a little bit longer with that once a week than you've done in the past, and over a wider area than you've done in the past. I think if you try those things, your trees will come back and be the trees you remember.
Now you say increase mulch. Where do I get mulch?
I think we have some at Walter Anderson Nursery. Get a couple of big harvest bales, E.B. Stone big harvest bales. They have composted organic matter in them. They have bat guano. They have worm castings. They've got chicken manure in them. They've got all sorts of good stuff to help the trees.
Okay.
Put a layer of that.
I don't want to lose them. I don't want them to die. And I go out there where it used to be solid shade. I go out there, and it was just an arbor of shade. And now I'm seeing mostly sky.
That's so sad.
Well, the other thing.
It breaks my heart. Breaks my heart every day. That's why when I heard you this morning, I thought, okay, fine. I'm going to call and tell you. I'm breaking my heart. I live alone. And those trees, I go by them, and I say a prayer for them every morning. I love those trees. They've been there the whole time I've been in this house. The grapefruit trees haven't. I planted the grapefruit trees myself. But the orange trees were here. And they've always been so prolific. I used to give all the fruit to the Salvation Army. Every year, I'd get all the fruit, and I'd give it to the Salvation Army.
The other thing that I would do, if you come into the store, like I said, you're going to need some horticultural oil, which we do sell, and that's a spray that you spray onto the tree. And as far as the mulch
is, spray it through the hose. You put it on the end of the,
yep,
it comes through the hose.
It attaches to the end of the hose, and you just spray the tree down and soak the whole thing. But the big harvest bale. Also, take some pictures of the trees on your phone. Bring those into the store, and then bring a small branch into the store as well, and we can take a look and see exactly what's going on there and make sure that we can get you on the right track.
Oh, you guys are great. I will do that. Thank you so very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Made my day.
Okay. Thanks for
the
call.
Thank you, gentlemen. Bye.
Take care.
It's unfortunate, and it's the old – I like this. This is my other – post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy, just because A preceded B, the fence, does not mean A cause B. It right. may be because right. of the fence.
It may be. Right. It, especially if it was like a block wall fence where they had to dig a footing for it, then that could very well be what happened.
But we've seen cases where the trees have their root systems go into the neighbor's yard and they've got a flower bed there and they're getting additional water from their sprinklers.
You know, we didn't ask her if she got rid of a lawn and replaced it with a fake lawn recently, because a lot of times when that happens, all of the surrounding plants lose their sources of water.
Of additional waters.
And the main plant that loses its source of water is the tree that they have planted in the lawn didn't take out. I can't tell you how many times I have seen that happen. The other thing that happens too with artificial turf that I have noticed, if they do have a lawn tree there, a lot of times the roots will come up to the surface looking for water, and then you see that you can actually see the roots underneath the artificial turf.
Looking for water in all the wrong places.
And I have a friend of mine who's in my Rotary Club who lives in Poway. He had a couple of big Podocarpus gracilis in his front yard, lawn trees, and he took out his lawn and put in artificial turf. And he made sure that the trees had water, so the trees weren't a problem. But Podocarpus gracilis just naturally loses foliage. So he said, I still have to go out and mow the artificial turf just to suck the leaves up off.
Well, you know, the artificial turf does two things. It takes away the water source, but the artificial turf is going to be warmer than the cool grass. The wet, moist soil is going to be much cooler, so it's going to take away a source of water and then increase the need at the same time.
Yeah, makes it a little warmer, so that the plants that are there require more liquid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the once a week she's right on with.
If she's using an adequate amount of water too. Because a lot of people, you know, don't know, but people go and just do a cursory hose sprinkling and say I water once a week.
Yeah. No. It's. To water something like that, you need to soak it. You need to put a good amount of water on it.
And over a wider area, and over time, that wider area that gets being wider. Watered gets wider.
Well, you know, David, you've said this a lot. Sometimes when as trees are growing and we get them through the, you know, fifth year, sixth year, seventh year, and then all of a sudden they start to decline, and people say, I don't understand. I've been doing the same thing, but all of a sudden it's declining, and you'll tell them that, well, you've given it enough to survive, but not enough to thrive.
Yeah.
So it got through those stages while the leaves or the branches were small, a smaller tree, smaller root zone. Now all of a sudden it's got this root zone, big tree. It needs a lot more care.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more right after this break.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. People came from
and
miles
we're back.
Around.
With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. What are we going to talk about next? You know what? Let's go to the phones. We'll go talk to Rose up in Escondido. Good morning, Rose. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am well. What can we do for you?
Well, you guys were talking about nuts, and I had a question about pecan trees.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in East County, and there were a lot of volunteer pecan trees, and a lot of the nuts were good, but half of them, or maybe less than half, did not have any nut inside of them. So I wanted to find out, do you guys sell pecan trees at your nursery?
Generally, no. We can get them in 15s, but we've been horrible failures at them bare root. So we don't have any live ones right now.
Okay. Well, they seem to do pretty well in San Diego.
Yes, they do.
They do. Yes.
Yeah.
I have one out in Rancho Penasquitos. David, you have some.
Some of them require pollinators. Right. So some of those seedlings might be varieties that need pollinators or just didn't get pollinated for whatever reason, which might be why some of them are empty. It could also be if nobody takes care of them and they just growed voluntarily. If they just volunteered or grew voluntarily, they may need a little bit more than what they're getting.
And more time.
Well, half of the nuts are pretty darn good. So anyway, I have one more question if you have time.
We certainly do.
Okay, well, I'm not as lucky as you where all your stone fruit flowers are coming out in your orchard. Does it matter if I just fertilize everything right now? If they don't have anything coming out, does it matter? Should I wait till they start having some growth come out?
If you are ready to water, you can go ahead and do it now. Or if we're going to have another rain, or when we have our next rain, you could do it then. If you have late blooming varieties, which hopefully those are late blooming varieties and just not dead varieties that aren't going to come out.
No, they're not. They're not dead. They're late. And what about
wait for the next rain or the next need for water?
Okay. Last question is: what about stone fruit trees that never lost all their leaves? What typically happens the next year if they just didn't really lose everything because of this strange winter?
You know, I will let you know later this summer. I have an apricot tree that kept foliage on it the whole time. It's about ready to drop, but it looks like it's going to drop as the new buds are getting ready to open up. So
I think that's what I've observed on mine that keep their leaves. They just, as the new growth comes out, they just slowly fall off.
The other thing that you can do too is if you're good about dormant spraying, that will take care of pretty much any foliage that's left at the end of the season.
Okay. Well, I mean, I could just pick it off. I don't have to. But anyway, does that do something else? That just puts it in a dormant state?
No.
It's getting rid of the leaves?
The tree's going to do what it's going to do, whether those leaves are still sitting there or not. If you are looking for a make-work project and want to get out and...
No, but thank you.
Then just leave it alone.
Okay.
Nature
well,
will take
you.
Care You're of it.
Pardon me?
Nature will take care of it when the new growth comes out.
That's so comforting. This is almost like being in church. So thank you very much. You're very helpful.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome. Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. If you'd like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
So a quick question here. You know, she had an aversion, it sounded like, to feeding because her plants were getting ready to flower. And there are some... That's a standing philosophy with a lot of folks. They'll come in and say, I was going to feed, but my plant's about to flower. You guys have been doing this for decades. Where does that come from, other than camellias? Why would you not feed if your plant's getting ready to
flower? Well, with her trees, they're dormant.
Right.
They still haven't come out of dormancy, so there's really no reason to feed. And there's the likelihood of some waste of the fertilizer. Some of the nitrogen may have gone.
No, I agree with them.
So
people, if they start flowering, don't want to feed.
I had a gentleman just 2 days ago asking me about citrus, but my citrus tree is blooming. I can feed it now? I said, absolutely. But it's blooming. Are you sure? Yes.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, I think that's a research project for George Allman. That's right up your
alley.
I was
asking two guys who've been doing this for a long, long time.
I don't know.
We'll see if we can
find
out.
Mr. Anderson?
I don't know. The only thing that I can think of that you don't want to, like you mentioned, that you don't want to feed when they're getting ready to bloom is camellias.
That's the only one I'm aware of.
That's the only one I'm aware of.
Because I feed my trees whenever I'm in the mood.
You know, I like the way when I
think about it.
Yeah. And I've never given any second thought to feeding if it has
because
if it's in bloom.
With citrus in particular, the blooms come out with new growth. You don't see, rarely do you see blooms on a citrus tree without foliage right there with it. And the deciduous trees, the stone fruits, they're blooming, and then that's followed by growth almost immediately. That is one of the more wonderful processes that I
gorgeous. Yeah, it's wonderful.
The trees, if you think about all the trees that we need fruit from, their blooms are all held out to the outside so that when they need pollination, they're right there. But immediately upon being pollinated, then the growth comes out to protect the fruit. And that is just, I don't know, it's a stunning sequence of events to me. It gives me goosebumps thinking about the way that whole process is working to ensure the production, ensure pollination, and then ensure the safety of the fruit.
It's all protected, right?
You know, one thing that kind of surprised me, and it seems to be for whatever reason, late this year. We had a customer call. They had bought a bare root apple that had not started, the buds hadn't started pushing on it yet. And so Heather happened to be talking to him. And so she was asking me a couple of questions. I said, well, have them go out and scrape the bark back and see if it's still green underneath, because that's an indication that it's still alive. It just hasn't started doing anything. And then I was out chasing carts down in the parking lot that same day. And we've got a decent-sized apple tree in one of the median planters in the parking lot. It is showing no signs of budding out yet.
It's a late variety.
Yeah, but
depending on the variety.
Yeah,
right?
to look at it, you like, God, this thing looks dead.
It's funny because in our bare root season, the apple trees are the first to bloom. The Anna apples. Mm-hmm. They're setting fruit bare root practically.
Yeah.
But then some of the apples are also the latest ones to come out. They're the last ones to show.
Mm-hmm.
In our orchard right now, the Anna apple is in full bloom with leaves coming out. Full bloom. Fragrant as all get out. It's wonderful. But the King David is sitting there idle. It's like it's a dead stick. Yep.
Yeah. Anna's a pretty incredible, for this area, it's a pretty incredible apple. I mean, it seems like it blooms almost year round.
And that's a tree, as Rose was talking about, her deciduous fruit trees not losing leaves. The Anna is hard pressed to lose leaves.
Yeah,
it won't give up the leaves at all.
Yeah, it rarely goes fully dormant in the wintertime. And it actually produces a pretty good size apple too. When
another late sprouter is the persimmons. My persimmons just have maybe an eighth of an inch of the green is just starting to push through the buds.
Ours as well.
They're very
started.
Late.
That's funny. That's another tree that this year I can't believe how many persimmons. I don't know where this run on persimmons has come from, but that's one of the most popular fruit trees that we've had this year.
It's a wonderful piece of fruit.
Well, I'm not discounting that at all. But it,
low
it
water.
Just, it they it they the popularity of them has just skyrocketed.
I think
in the
I
last
take
year.
One phone call a day at least
for Fuyu persimmon.
Do you have any Fuyu persimmons? Yeah.
So I don't know if there's been public
Facebook post and internet
publications or something has triggered.
It's probably those Fuyus. Guys on the radio. They talk about how good they are. Eat them like an apple or not.
I don't know.
I love them.
I do too.
They're good. A ripe persimmon is actually quite tasty. An unripe persimmon? Not so much.
Or the astringent type that you don't let get ready. Yeah, not so good.
But
yeah.
The Fuyu isn't that bad. Not ripe, before it's ripe. It's not like
it's just a little crunchier with not a lot of flavor. Yeah.
Yes.
For the people, for the transplants from the Midwest and the East Coast that like peonies, we actually have peonies that will naturalize in San Diego fairly well. I think I have one that I have one in my yard that keeps coming back.
You haven't croaked it yet?
No, I haven't croaked it yet.
How are you growing it? What's the cultural conditions?
It's just in kind of a. It's a western it's in a western exposure, but it's under a big ficus tree, so it's in a kind of a cool, damp area.
So it's getting shade throughout the morning and into the early
pretty
afternoon
much, yeah.
or something.
Okay. Yeah, but it's the Ito variety of peonies. The flowers are beautiful. I mean, they're about 4 or 5 inches across,
More single.
More of a single flowered peony. But for those of you that like peonies, they actually will do. We used to bring peonies in and sell them as annuals because they wouldn't the ones that were available wouldn't naturalize. But Monrovia has found the Ito variety of a peony, and they will naturalize in this area.
And that's Ito, I-T-O-H.
Yes. And they come in a few different colors.
I think we have two or three different varieties right now.
Yeah.
And you were saying afternoon shade. I still remember Jim Roop at his house in Prescott had it in the afternoon sun. So it got a little bit of shade in the morning, but all the rest of the day it was up on this little hill that got full afternoon sun in Prescott, and it did really well.
And another plant, another plant for people that like peonies are peony flowered camellias, which I actually think a peony flower form camellia, the flower looks more like a peony than
an Ito peony. I would agree with that.
And those are very easy to grow and evergreen. They just prefer kind of a shady location.
Morning sun, filtered sun. They'll take full sun along the coast.
Yeah. Not.
Do you guys remember the camellia farm that used to be right at the base of Iron Mountain? No, not Iron Mountain. Woodson. Mount Woodson. There used to be a little semicircle offshoot street that went off of the 67 to the west and then come back to the 67, and there was a camellia farm in there under the oak trees.
No, I don't remember that one, but off of Deer Spring, up by at Deer Springs Road, you go east and then you take the frontage road
down to Lawrence Welk, that direction.
No, you take the frontage road south.
Oh,
back towards where was it Plant World?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Where it's now Moon Valley. But there was a very small grower in there. It was Howard Asper, and he grew camellias, and he grew proteas too. But he was tangled up with Descanso Gardens, and I can't remember how, but he was part of Descanso Gardens and or worked for Descanso Gardens, and that's where the camellia thing came in from. So. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. You guys are on the air now.
Oh,
starting
no.
today?
At this moment, right now. Oh.
Starting today.
No, 9, what time?
Nine o'clock. I'm sorry, 9 o'clock.
Yes.
9 o'clock, the Master Gardener Series. Is it videos or
Spring gardening seminars are going to be on... Online. So they have been pre-taped or pre-recorded or something, and they're available from this morning at
9 o'clock.
until Sunday night at
midnight, I think.
Midnight or something like that.
And I think it's $35 to register, and that gives you unlimited access to all of the
classes
to
series,
all of the classes, and they cover a variety of topics. You guys did one on citrus, I believe.
And there's workshops, and we did citrus banter with George
citrus
and
banter.
David. That's what we should call it, citrus banter.
There you go. Yeah, so check that out at the Master Gardener. I don't have the actual website here.
If you Google San Diego Master Gardeners,
you'll find
Master Gardener San Diego. It comes right up.
You will find it. A couple other things. Oh, you know, one thing that people have been asking about a lot recently is tarragon. They want to grow tarragon in their herb gardens, and we have not had it for a few weeks. And I think we're looking. That's probably 2 or 3 weeks out still.
And somebody may, one of our suppliers may have it sooner. We may get it in sooner. It likes warm weather. It grows faster when the weather is hotter. So usually when we get it this early, and there was some a little bit earlier in the season, it's very small. But if you're going to make good soup, I think you have to have proper fresh French tarragon. I'm not sure.
You know, the only thing, I like tarragon. I do like tarragon, but that's not a very good looking plant.
No, it's not.
Put it in the back of the herb garden.
Yeah, it's nothing to get excited about.
Mrs. Right. Spittler used to make the best French sorrel soup.
Oh, I like sorrel
soup. And she
soup.
Would use, I'm pretty sure she had tarragon in her French sorrel soup. It was delish.
I think that's one of the ingredients in Bernaise sauce, too.
The sorrel or the tarragon?
Tarragon, yeah. Some of the other stuff that's out there in the vegetables right now, we've got artichokes and they're really nice artichokes that are out there right now. And it's been a while, but I actually grew some artichokes. I didn't realize how big they get.
They require space. If you have a limited garden,
not a
don't
good
put
choice.
The artichoke in there.
Not
I
a
tell
good
people
choice.
That when they're walking, they're grabbing like a six pack of artichokes. And I say, you know, these get pretty big, and they come back year after year. They're a big plant.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some room in a box. Let's get big.
Yeah.
And productivity per square foot, you don't get that much out of an artichoke for all the space.
But it's
takes.
It's a beautiful plant, though.
It's gorgeous.
I mean, it's a really
so make
nice
it part of your edible landscape and put it out in the landscape area, but not in your smaller vegetable area.
My youngest son was trying to clean up my hill where there's the bull thistle that looks a lot like an artichoke.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And he took out my artichoke thinking it was one of the weedy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, one of the bull thistles up there.
The other tip for growing artichokes is put down some Sluggo Plus around the base of them because they are earwig magnets.
Yes,
they will. Earwigs will get into them, and then once the earwigs get into the flower heads, there's really not much you can do.
I'm a big fan of tedious fruits, but I just don't get artichokes.
Oh,
I don't think they taste bad. I just don't see how they're worth it.
I love them.
And I'll go through, as a matter of fact, I just bought a bag of sunflower seeds at Grocery Outlet yesterday. I'll go through the work and effort of sunflower seeds, but I don't understand artichokes. Could somebody explain that to me?
They're not that hard to do. The way we've been doing them recently is you cut the stem off so that it's fresh. Take a pair of kitchen shears and snip the tips off of the sharp tips off of all of the, I guess it's a pet, it's probably a sepal, I guess. Cut it straight in half. Sprinkle some peppercorns into the folds. Put them in a big pot with a couple inches of water, a bay leaf, some more peppercorns, and a couple of slices of lemon. Boil them for about 45 minutes, and you're good to go.
And what do I have when I'm done with all of that?
You have some really tasty little things that you can...
See, I like...
You squeegee them between your teeth.
You gotta squeegee them, yeah. I like just going to the store and getting the little jar of marinated artichoke hearts. I like those a great deal.
Oh, you do get the artichoke heart as well.
That I like, but the work that you just described is much like you eating beets or something. I don't get it.
I wish that we were on camera right now so you could see my face as I look at you with incredulity. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Some parts are edible, so this flower is. I did think that the one time I tried artichoke that it tasted kind of like sunflower seed, that little base of the shield, the squeegee.
Right. The squeegee
portion.
Well, then there's all the dipping sauces that you can make to go with it.
So what you're saying is you use the artichoke, that little
it's
leaf.
It's a means.
It's a delivery device for some type of sauce.
Some type of dip.
Okay. Yeah. Like French fries and ketchup.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
So I have cheese at home, and on occasion I will take out a slice of bread, put a little butter on it, put cheese on it, throw it in the microwave, and melt cheese over the top. It's kind of like that. If you put... It was a plain piece of bread, but now that I've dumped all sorts of bad stuff on it, it tastes great.
Right.
So that's what the artichoke is. It's just a delivery system.
It could be. It could be.
Okay.
One other thing that we've got right now is we have horseradish in gallon containers. And if you haven't grown horseradish, it's super easy to grow. It's also somewhat invasive. But preparing fresh horseradish is super easy to do. I don't have the recipe with me right now, I'll bring it next week. We're just about done here. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with another hour of Garden Talk next Saturday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.